Hey, what is going on, Wildlife Fix team? This is Michael here, and today we're going to be exploring the effects of radiation on wild animals and wildlife as a whole. A few decades ago, there was a huge nuclear disaster in Chernobyl, which you have probably heard about, and it released a ton of radioactivity. In fact, there is an exclusion zone, and it is still highly recommended that nobody live there, and it will remain that way for a very long period of time. Even besides this very large and very damaging nuclear accident, there have even been smaller scale nuclear accidents, even at just 1/10 the damage that Chernobyl caused, such as the one in Fukushima, Japan, and these have had huge effects both on the wildlife, the insects, the animals, and even the people there. So today we're going to be exploring what exactly happens when we are exposed to radiation, because with the increasing globalization of humanity, it is important to understand this and make sure that we are taking the necessary precaution to take care of these crazy experiments which we are doing, so that way both we and the wild animals and nature itself can remain as safe and healthy as possible. So first off, there is all kinds of different radiation. There are gamma rays, X-rays, alpha and beta radiation, and all kinds of different things, and we're not going to be covering all of the details of that right now, but some forms of radiation, such as X-rays, are believed to not be nearly as damaging as other types of radiation. So, for example, the radiation that was released in Chernobyl was one of the more damaging types that has been linked to cancer and all kinds of other health problems, whereas it is believed that X-rays are a much safer form of radiation, especially when you consider that we get the benefit of seeing inside people. So, for example, it's a very, very small risk. However, you get to see if you have a broken bone or something like that. Therefore, it's worth it. However, when you do have one of the damaging types of radiation hit you, when it strikes the animal cell, it breaks down the chemical bonds inside molecules, or it can even form new bonds. It basically just does something which it's not supposed to do, and the degree to which these changes harm the cell depends on which molecules are altered and the nature of these alterations. DNA damage is especially deleterious, since accumulated changes to cellular DNA can potentially lead to cancer. What this essentially does, in more simple terms, is it changes the way the cell functions. So it can cause all kinds of malfunctions, which will lead to a wide array of symptoms, everything from basic nausea to getting over that rather quickly to a long-term death sentence with cancer. Cells do have internal repair mechanisms that can handle damage up to a certain point. However, if there is enough ionizing radiation that strikes the animal cell or the damage is serious enough, then the cell will die, and there will also be malfunctions in the other cell nearby which that cell has died. Another thing which radiation does, besides the genetic damage, is it also increases the rate of mutation within a species. Studies in the Chernobyl region have confirmed that organisms are mutating at a very, very fast rate. However, there's also very little resistance that these organisms are evolving to become more resistant to the radiation. What this means is that they're essentially changing into different organisms very quickly. You see, every single time we reproduce, we actually do have a little bit of mutation. However, it's very, very small and you don't really notice it. So typically the individual is healthy and they are very much like their parents. However, in the Chernobyl region, the rate or probability of a high degree of mutation is much, much higher. So while there aren't going to be any three-eyed animals or any weird science-y fiction type stuff like that, there is indeed some high rates of mutation which are affecting the species. For the most part, it's not too good, because that means that they're going to have disadvantages when competing in the wild and that they're going to be more likely to die. Much like the human survivors of the Hiroshima and Nagasaki atomic bombs released during World War II, birds and mammals at the Chernobyl region have cataracts in their eyes and smaller brains. These are direct consequences of exposure to ionizing radiation in air, water, and food. Like some cancer patients undergoing radiation therapy, many of the birds have malformed sperm. In the most radioactive areas, up to 40% of male birds are completely sterile, with no sperm or just a few dead sperm in their reproductive tracts during the breeding season. Tumors, which are typically cancerous, are obvious on some birds in high radiation areas. So are developmental abnormalities in some plants and insects. Again, due to the overwhelming evidence of genetic damage and injury to individuals, it is not surprising that all populations of all different types of organisms in highly contaminated areas have shrunk. In Chernobyl, all major groups of animals have less abundance than in radioactive areas. This includes birds, butterflies, dragonflies, bees, grasshoppers, spiders, and large and small animals. Not every species shows the same pattern of decline, however. Many species, including wolves, show no effects of radiation on their population density. A few species of birds appear to be more abundant in more radioactive areas. In both cases, higher numbers may reflect the fact that there are fewer competitors or predators for these species in highly radioactive areas, or they might have some type of genetic advantage in which they were already likely to be more resistant to radiation. Moreover, vast areas of the Chernobyl exclusion zone are not presently heavily contaminated and appear to provide a refuge for many species, which could also be why there are higher populations of mammals in the more contaminated areas, simply because, well, it's an exclusion zone. Humans don't live there, so therefore animals are able to come from the outside and come in there, making studying the effect of radiation a bit difficult. Now, while it is a good theory that the Chernobyl exclusion zone has been better for wildlife because there is less human activity in hunting, so therefore they are able to survive, this is, for the most part, just a theory. It seems that through observing Chernobyl and also the Fukushima, Japan nuclear disaster, it seems that overall the effect of radiation on wildlife is very, very bad. It really messes up with an individual, and it can cause all kinds of negative symptoms. Again, everything from struggling to digest some food to getting cancer and dying. It can really have all kinds of different effects depending on how many antioxidants the individual has in their body, which pretty much protects against radiation. And if they don't have much of it, then they're going to be more likely to experience negative effects. In short, though, overall, the effect of radiation on animals is not positive. Like we said, the rate of mutations is simply too high, so animals start to die off and we see less biodiversity and less abundance. So what this means for us is that we need to be very careful with our radiation and with our nuclear projects so that way it doesn't affect any wild animals or insects or pretty much nature or even humans ourselves, because if this happens, we are going to see less biodiversity, more genetic mutations, and it's going to be an all-around unpleasant experience for everyone involved. Now, all of that being said, the Chernobyl exclusion zone, as well as other exclusion zones, have been a haven for wildlife creatures. And this is great for them because there are no humans, but what a lot of people don't know is that animals often find safe havens in people's attics, in between their walls, under their home, in all kinds of different areas. It's very common to see wildlife in pest infestation no matter where you are, and several American homeowners experience it and contact us about that problem every single year. So if you feel like you have a wildlife or pest-related problem, we attempt to remove the creatures as safely and responsibly as possible and return them to the wild far enough away from your home so that way they can never find their way back to you, but also safe enough so that way they can enjoy their lives out in the wild. So if you have a wildlife or pest problem, make sure to contact us by giving us a call at 855-WILDLIFE or calling us at wildlifexteam.com. Again, thank you so much for enjoying this content, and we will see you next week. Have a good one.